Meeting to order. We're short a couple of members, but we might as well get started here. Hopefully we'll have a quorum soon. So we can't conduct any official business, but Representative Gunther, you're going to go first if you'd like to explain your bill. And members, we did receive the corresponding Senate file today, so once we have a quorum, we're going to have to move to amend the House language onto the Senate file. And we didn't make copies of all the Senate files. There were copying issues today. In fact, at one point, for amendments on the House floor, they were actually running them over here and doing them here in the SOB and bringing them back to the floor. So there should be copies of the bill available. Raise your hand or let the pages know if you'd like a copy of the Senate file. You all have copies of the House language in your folders, though. So Representative Gunther, the first thing we have to ask you is if your bill meets the target.
Madam Chairman, yes, it does.
All right, thank you. If you'd like to present your bill to the committee as soon as we have a quorum, we'll officially call the meeting to order and move your bill.
Okay. Madam Chairman and members, House File 1049 reduces $26.674 million in spending, reduces deed by 5.8%, including 33.7% reduction in business and community development, an 8.8% reduction in workforce development, reduces housing finance by 10.8%, and reduces Department of Labor by 22.9%.
Representative Gunther, we now have a quorum. I'd like to officially call the meeting to order. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for the March 24th meeting. Representative Kiffmeyer moves approval of the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the minutes as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay. Minutes are adopted. The next item on the agenda would be House File 1049, but as I stated early, we now have a Senate file in front of us, so that would be Senate File 887. So the first thing is we would need Representative Gunther to move the bill.
Representative, Madam Chairman, I'd move House File 1049.
No, actually we have to move Senate file 887.
I move Senate File 887.
And then the next motion would be to delete the language in Senate File 887. And replace it with
House File 1049.
First engrossment.
First engrossment. That's correct.
So, members, this is just a housekeeping type of move to get the right language in front of the committee. Any questions? All right. All those in favor of the motion to amend Senate File 887. Yes, the first engrossment of House File 1049. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion's adopted. The amendment is approved. I'm sorry. Ms. Novak, did I do that right? Are we where we need to be? Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. We now have Senate File 887 as amended with the House language in front of the committee for consideration. If you'd like to continue, Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members. This bill also uses one-time funds via the $60 million transfer from the Douglas J. Johnson Fund and $13 million transfer from the Unemployment Insurance Contingency Account to fund jobs and economic development priorities. Creates competition, youth workforce development, competitive grant program is a pilot project that, if successful, can be applied to future pass-through grants for business development and adult services. Funds innovative programs to spur job growth and business development. Continues to fund funding for the Inventors Congress and the Bio Business Alliance initiatives, and spearheads innovation and lays the foundation for future of Minnesota's marketplace, protects the most vulnerable, increases funding for state services for the blind and rehab services to levy the maximum federal match, makes a 10.8% reduction in housing services, but does not cut housing for the mentally ill and family homelessness prevention, and funds the challenge program with enough money to receive the federal match, and made minimal reductions to the Minnesota Housing Trust Fund. And that is pretty much what the bill does, and I stand for correct question and amendments.
Representative Gunther, are there any fees in your bill?
No. No.
All right. Members, any questions? Representative Gunther.
We do have fee increase for the Combative Sports Commission. They were supposed to be sunsetted, but in order to keep them going, we increased their fees per fight from $25 to $45. And we had some more fees that were increased in dollars for the... the license cleanup stuff from last year that didn't get done, and what else? Building permit surcharge of $5 so they can have enough money to fund additional permitting.
All right, thank you. Representative Carlson.
Well, I was just going to say that in reviewing the bill, we had identified some fees, and I was just, being that he said there were no fees, I was going to say that it appears that there were at least two or three.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions to the bill as presented or the spreadsheet?
Ma'am.
Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, I don't know, questions or what, but if I could have Paige's hand out my little cute little colored chart, you know. When it's in color, it's, you know, much more interesting. And a picture paint is better than a thousand words, so I'll... give this to you guys and hope you can give it to the committee members. Representative Gunther, I know your task is a difficult one, but can you explain why would you target a small group of people from northeastern Minnesota called Iron Rangers in your bill and go after local property taxes like you're not doing anywhere else in any other bill anywhere where you're actually specifically pulling property taxes out of a district. Can you explain the rationale behind that?
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Rogovina, we had to meet our targets, number one. Number two, this is not unprecedented. The Iron Range in the last 10 years have gotten $83 million from the Legislature for Economic Development Programs, and that's with the Doug Johnson Fund there. And we figure if you can get money from the legislature while having that fund there for that purpose, that we can be able to be bold enough to take that.
Mr.
Representative,
Madam Chair, Representative Gunther, you just made a huge misstatement. There's no where, no way, no how, never happened that the Doug Johnson Fund got $83 million of state tax money. And I challenge that, and to get anybody up at that front desk that says that. Now, there was a general fund appropriation called the 21st Century Minerals Fund, which has nothing to do with this. That's general fund dollars. You took it, we sued, we lost, we didn't whine anymore after that because it's general fund dollars. These are local property taxes paid in lieu of property taxes by a tax on the mining companies that don't pay a typical property tax. And some of that money gets diverted into the Doug Johnson Fund. So who in the hell ever told you that tale that you just...
Representative Rukavina, I think what Chair Gunther is speaking about is starting, I believe, in 2001. There was a 22 cents per ton general fund appropriation that over the last 10 years, $83 million in general fund has gone into the big I can't think of the name of it, the big fund where you have like the five different categories. So, in 2001, my understanding, and I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is that I believe that was the year that Commissioner Wheelock stood in front of everybody and said we had a boatload of money. And also at that time, the mining industry was struggling. And as a matter of policy, this legislature chose to, I think Representative Lencheski might call this a tax expenditure, to spend 22 cents per, I don't know if it's cubic ton or it's at a rate. And over the last 10 years, it's been in excess of $83 million. And I guess maybe you can explain to me why we have on the IRRB's website that no general fund money goes into their programs, given that about 10%, at least in the 2009 tax rate, the 10 disbursements, that money was general fund. And I think in the tax bill that just passed, we have $13 to $14 million going to into this fund in 12 and 13. It jumps to $17 million in 14-15. So I don't think, you know, it's unprecedented as far as you know, the general fund was there to help your area of the state at a time the state had lots of money and the mining industry was in trouble. We've just seen a couple of articles out in the paper today talking about the Great Recovery, quotes from people saying they can work as much overtime as they want. Now the situation has reversed. Your area of the state has made some nice recovery. The state is in trouble, and this is one idea in order to try and get to a balanced budget.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll tell you what you're referring to. You're referring to the 2001 tax bill that gave every business and commercial industrial business in this state a tax cut. And at the time, LTV Steel went down, coincided with that. And former Speaker Swigum and then Majority Leader Pawlenty agreed that there should be a little money that goes to buy down those mining companies' property taxes. That doesn't go into the Doug Johnson Fund. There's a 30-cent a ton payback to the mining companies that goes right back to them. It's just a transfer of money that runs through the IRRB. It doesn't go to the Doug Johnson Fund. The Doug Johnson Fund gets a cents per ton inclusion into the Doug Johnson Fund. It comes in, and this year it's next to nothing because the mining companies only mined 17 million tons, so the next 2 years, members, there's about $20 million less coming in mining company taxes than there were in 2007. This is an outright theft of money from people that don't deserve this. I've handed out this chart, members, and I want you to look at it. Because, damn it, somebody's going to get a little education on the Iron Range and who we are and what we do. You know, first of all, we built this great country. You know, we gave the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan and all of those Carnegie, if you want to use the MPR term, I call them Andrew Carnegie, all those libraries that you people have in your districts, the Carnegie libraries, the money came from the range, the whole country. These three funds, I want you to look at them. The first one is a $721 million permanent school fund. And every year, you know, my grandpa worked 100 years ago putting money in this fund. And this year there's going to be $25 million mined at MINTAC in Mountain Iron put into this fund. And let me tell you what this fund does. It gives money to every single person at this table, this big fund. You, Madam Chair, you get about $318 million at Lakeville this year. $318,000, excuse me, I'm losing numbers here. I'm losing my mind. You want me to bring you up?
Representative Rukavina, if we got that much, we'd be almost be able to pay that severance package for our superintendent.
$318,000. Edina, $196,000. Robbinsdale, Representative Carlson, $366 million.
Thank you.
Minneapolis, $1.252 million. St. Paul, $1,250,000. Anoka, Hennepin, $1,148,000. Rochester, $476,000. Every year, every single year. We don't get that kind of money. The next one is the Permanent University Fund, capitalized at $355 million. Keetac this year will mine about $9.8 million and put it in this other little fund down here for scholarships for your kids at your high schools, which I'll get to too. But that $355 million fund at the Permanent University Fund, it employs 1,500 people in the metro area. They either get a full or a half salary off that. All your endowed chairs, 43 endowed chairs at the University of Minnesota, over half of them endowed with the money out of that little blue fund. Scholarships. Let's see, who's getting them? Representative Scott's not on the committee. Representative Loon, 33 kids getting 66 grand in her school district. Representative McFarland, 26 kids. Representative Huntley, where are you? 38 kids, 72 grand. Your kids get. My kids don't get it. Everybody else kids gets it. Add up these three funds here, members. Over $1.1 billion. And so after 100 and some years of mining, we get to keep a $122 million fund. That, by the way, is going to get nowhere near what those other funds are going to get this year. Another $5 million going into the green fund this year. Another $25 million going into the red fund. We get $1.3 million. What the hell have we done to you people to deserve to be treated like this? That's what I want to ask you. We keep giving and giving and giving, and we get a little bit to keep a little bit, and you hammer us like this? I mean, just because of who we are and how we vote? You want the history of that? I'll give it to you on the floor on Wednesday. Representative Smith knows. His Uncle Chucky was a good friend of mine. His cousin Bucky's a good friend of mine. They worked on the Duluth, Mesabi, and Iron Range Railroad. Worked hard bringing that ore down to Duluth. Do we deserve this, Representative Smith? I know you don't think so. It's crazy what's going on here. Representative Gunther, you're one of the nicest guys on the Republican side of the aisle, and that's not easy for me to say. But you know you don't believe in this. Who in the hell? Who's the moochers here? Who's the moochers? Come on, look at the facts, for God's sakes. I can go on and on and on here about who gets what. What school district gets what. You know, over the next 3 years, MinTAC's going to put $75 million more into the permanent school fund, and your kids will get that much more per head. No, we don't deserve this at all. And that money you said we got, it goes right back to the mining companies. Because your commercial industrial taxpayers got a cut back in 2001. So take it away from them. Frankly, I don't care. And as far as the range booming, come on up and see. It looks like Bangladesh. It looks like Bosnia when it got bombed out. Our main streets, nothing left. Nothing left. Our schools combined and combined and recombined again. Beautiful schools sitting there empty because we don't have the kids anymore. So, no, you can read an article about how it's so nice up there. No, Representative Holberg, let me tell you, it isn't fun on the range right now. It isn't fun for any of us. And we try to put a little money aside for Representative Moline's generation. Unbelievable. I just can't believe this. And you people are really ticking off rangers all over the state, and there's enough of them, whether they're in Representative Greiling's district or Representative Garofalo's district or wherever. And they're united behind us 100% on this because they know what sacrifices we made. We don't deserve this just because of the way we vote. We don't deserve it because of who we are. Because we're good people and we work hard. And I'll tell you what, I'm so damn proud to be an Iron Ranger and so proud of 125 years of mining where we built this country and built those rich people. J.P. Morgan, he capitalized U.S. Steel in 1903 at $1.2 billion. $1 billion in 1903 because of the wealth we shipped. That's when they started putting the money in these funds. We deserve this? Yeah, right. I don't know what to do about it. I'm so damn frustrated. I haven't been able to sleep all weekend. You got my blood pressure up? Good, I'll be a martyr for the cause. Say nice things about me at my funeral, Representative Garofalo. I want one Republican talking because you're going to give me a damn stroke here.
Representative Anderson Sarah.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Rukavina. It's always a joy, your passion that you have when it comes to these issues. But Representative Holberg is right. We are putting money from the general fund into the Iron Range for these issues. And what I also wanted to point out is, you know, all the mining companies up there, they don't pay for the statewide property tax. They don't have that. You have the payment in lieu taxes instead. You also don't have the corporate income tax up there as well. So those are revenue sources that the state would normally access, or our businesses would normally access, that we don't have, because you have a, you're given special privileges up in that area that our businesses in the metro or in greater the rest of greater Minnesota don't see. So I just want to make sure that, you know, when we're talking about this issue, it's, you know, it's not personal. This is about making sure that in a budgetary situation that we have right now, that we are addressing the concerns and help out the entire state of Minnesota, and not carve out special areas just for one area of the state of Minnesota.
Well, so, Madam Chair,
Representative Rukavina.
Representative Anderson, you're again 100% wrong. The mining companies pay a corporate income tax called the occupation tax. It's right in the Constitution. And it's called the occupation tax because they extract property wealth and they pay one time on it. And the occupation tax is paid to the state of Minnesota as a corporate income tax. We didn't support the Taconite Amendment, which wanted to treat them the same as all other corporations. We voted against it on the range because we thought an extraction business should pay more. And so they pay into that fund, and 50% of it goes into the general fund, and 40% of it goes into the into K-12 education on that formula, and 10% to the University of Minnesota. And Representative Anderson, if you're a longtime Minnesotan, which I think you are, that fund educated you and your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, because that's what basically put in 20% of the entire state general fund budget until the occupation tax got cut in the 60s and 70s when overseas competition hammered the American steel industry.
Representative
Anderson. We paid for 75 years, and now we get a little break, you call it that?
Well, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, forgive me for not explaining it all. When it comes to the corporate income tax rate, that's considerably higher than what you're paying in the occupation tax rate. And so if these mining companies were actually paying the corporate income tax rate, we would be seeing greater revenue than what the entire state is receiving right now. Yep. And that's the difference here. You're getting a special privilege that none of the other businesses within the state of Minnesota receive.
Madam Chair, again,
Representative Rukavina.
Representative Anderson, you're totally wrong there. Especially when the mines and steel starts booming, that occupation tax will skyrocket. And there were years when it was $70, $80, $90 million. What the hell did General Motors or General Electric pay to the U.S. government the other day? Was it zero in taxes? Zero? No, our mining companies pay taxes. And as far as the state giving money, let's remember what happened in 2001. A lot of people at this table whose school districts never saw general fund dollars started getting them, including my good friend Representative Downey right next to me, and Representative Garofalo probably. I don't know about Fairmont. I can't say that, but I know about Edina and Minnetonka and other places. And so they were starting to get, they got $100 million they never got, $30, $40, $50 million in their school districts that they got starting in 2001. And so that money you gave to the mining companies, I don't know, take it away from them. But don't take our nest egg. Don't take our local property taxes. Don't go after us and don't single us out, because that's what's going on here.
Representative Anderson, and then I have Representative Champion Carlson, and we have amendments.
Madam Chair, actually, Representative Rukavina, the current occupation tax rate is 2.45%. It's 2.45%. The current corporate income tax rate is 9.8%.
Madam Chair.
I think you've got your facts wrong.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina, briefly, and then we're going to
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, tell us what the 2.45% is on. What can they hide? What's the price of steel at the lower Great Lakes? That's what it's all based on. You talk about apples to oranges. You're comparing peanuts to elephants, for God's sake.
Well, Representative Rukavina, there's a tax provision in the tax bill from our newest member, in which the proposal is to reduce the occupation tax rate, which would mean a reduction to the money going to the schools in exchange for an increase in the production tax. Chair Davids, in the conference committee process, is going to have a full hearing and take all kinds of testimony about the AIDS credits, programs, etc., for your area of the state. And so we will all learn a lot more about the challenges and successes of mining, the contributions to the state, and what makes sense moving forward for how we have fairness, tax fairness in this area.
Well, Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
I hate to correct the Chair of the Ways and Means Committee.
No, you certainly can. I won't take it personally.
Representative David's tax bill is dealing with copper nickel mining and a net proceeds tax and an occupation tax on copper nickel. It is not dealing with natural ore that put in over $1 billion, the funds going to everybody in this room. It doesn't deal with that.
And Representative Rukavina, I am well aware of that. But because the issue of mining taxes is in the tax bill, I am certain that you will have ample opportunity through that conference committee process to educate all of us as to the history of taxation and moving forward what makes sense with the new opportunities being presented for mining on the range.
Well, Madam Chair, just to be clear, you can't compare the occupation tax on iron ore to what was in the tax bill. It has nothing to do with it. And there's a tax on nothing is nothing. There's no copper nickel mining in this state. And there was language in state statute dealing with it, which was totally unfair, because what it did was make the mining companies pay way disproportionately to what they pay in local taxes, what other businesses in this state pay in local taxes compared to what they pay in state corporate income tax. That's what we're trying to get at, Madam Chair. So I respectfully, with all due respect to you, of course, Madam Chair, want to point that out.
Thank you, Representative Rukavina. Representative Champion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gunther, I want to turn your attention, if I might, to the provisions or the concerns that I have around youth employment and how those youth employment programs are going to be cut or challenged. But let me say, first of all, when I was evaluating this bill, it made me think about my own employment opportunity as a teen. I remember being involved in a summer youth program, and all of us being excited about, you know, working. We had to go through an interviewing process. We had to then go not only with the administrative folks at the school, but we also then had to go to respective or prospective job sites and interview. And so we learned a lot about interviewing, and we learned a lot about benefits of being employed. Not to mention developing marketing potential skills that we could take not only from that work opportunity but to others. And we also were very excited about the opportunity to generate revenue to support our families, because you know how it is. When you get a little older, you get 16 or 15 years old, and you start thinking about not just buying a new pair of jeans, but also taking a potential significant other to the movie, right? And so I thought about those things, and then I looked at this bill and how this bill targets, let's say, the Minneapolis summer youth program by cutting it 30%, or Learn to Earn, which is something initiated by the parks, where you zeroed it out, or the Boys and Girls Club, or Youth Build, where there's a 30% cut, the St. Paul summer youth program, where there's another 30% cut. And these programs will also be cut in the future. And I don't necessarily just see them as programs, but I see them as investments. But it also made me think about something. I read in the paper today where they highlighted some of the high rate of unemployment amongst teens. Mm-hmm. And so so in light of the high unemployment amongst teens, the benefits that we get from teen employment, please explain how this cut will affect the youth in my district, and how this provision will address the high unemployment rate amongst youth.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you. That's a very good question. As a grocer, I remember hiring thousands of young people who worked in my store. I was the first line in their resume, and I cherish that very much. However, this bill concentrates on getting jobs for breadwinners. This bill concentrates on doing the things that need to do to get more people to work paying taxes. However, we did cut 30%. The second year, we did something very unique. We put a certain amount of money into the Department of Deed and let them figure out which youth program is supposed to get funded at which level. So certainly they have the people that monitor these programs and have more expertise than the committee I have chair. However, the Learn to Earn was funded by the Minneapolis, City of Minneapolis, and they shared some of their Boys and Girls Club money with this program because it's a very good fit. So these things were taken care of, not as well as I'd like them to be taken care of. But this is a year you don't do things like you'd like to do. And I certainly share your concern for all those young people that might not be able to have their first line in their resume. And if I'm chairman, for any period of time that we do have money, I'll guarantee you they will be funded at the right appropriate level.
Just one follow-up.
Representative Champion.
And thank you so much, Representative Gunther. And if I might, you know, just say that when we think in terms of breadwinners, in my district, there are youth who are sometimes breadwinners because families have a very difficult time making ends meet. And when we say that, I want us to really think about that in real time because there are families that are affected by every decision that we make, and youth, as in any family, every family, not just the youth, but families are very important to me, as I believe that they are to you. And I just want you to know that in this bill, I'm challenged not only by the issues around youth, but also around other cuts that affects, you know, job creation, innovation, and the whole package. Because for me, the notion of a real investment begins with people having opportunities and jobs.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, first of all, I've got a question of the author. You mentioned three fees. I jotted down the boxing board and cleanup fees. And what was the third fee, Representative Gunther?
Representative Gunther.
Boxing board, that was $5 fee. Building permit surcharge, Combative Sports Commission.
Could you speak into the mic, Madam Chair? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay.
Representative Carlson, if you look on the last page of the spreadsheet, you'll see most of them delineated there.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, where I'm headed with that, and I'll look at the last page of the spreadsheet, but, you know, there are then several fees, and we just had a discussion about the taconite production tax. And Representative Gunther, I'm on the tax committee, and I don't recall this bill going through the tax committee. And the law of the state of Minnesota is that a fee is a tax. I think there would be the fee issue, and I would argue that the taconite production tax or the impact here on the Doug Johnson Fund would also warrant this bill having gone to the tax committee. And I guess my question is why. I know it didn't go there, but why didn't it go to the tax committee, Representative Gunther?
Representative Gunther.
Madam Chairman and Representative Carlson, according to 4.10 or 4.13, maybe the tax chairman can tell me which one exactly, this bill didn't have to go to taxes because of the amount of the fees.
Madam Chair, I don't think that rule has anything to do with the amount of the fee. It's a fee is a fee, and a fee is a tax under the law. So, Madam Chair, maybe to get that question before us, I'd like to move that Senate File 887, as amended, be re-referred to the Tax Committee.
Madam Chair.
Representative Gunther.
Representative Carlson, these fees do not go to the general fund. They go to special revenue funds. Consequently, they don't have to go to the Tax Committee.
Representative Carlson.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm just trying to think of what the state law says, and I don't think it distinguishes between a special revenue fund. I think it just simply says a fee is a tax. And for that reason, it should go to the tax committee. And the state law would supersede House rules.
Representative Carlson, we could vote on your motion right now, but maybe you should withdraw it at this point. Let us get through the amendments, and then when we get ready to actually move the bill out of committee.
If that would be your preference, we can deal with the amendments. I'll withdraw the motion, but I would like to be recognized for that purpose later. Then thank you.
Certainly. Thank you. Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have some amendments, but I would only offer them. I mean, I wouldn't offer them if this was going to taxes, so I would defer on my amendments to hear if the committee is going to send it to taxes. But I had raised my hand back on the exchange on between Representative Anderson and Representative Rukavina, and you know, set aside the fee question in this bill. There's a major tax policy going on with or without the fees in the Douglas J. Johnson Fund. It's pure and simple a tax bill, and as you listen to the exchange between Representative Anderson and Representative Rukavina and Representative Holberg, it was all about taxes. Was it the occupation tax, the taconite tax? Was it on copper? Was it on nickel? Was it on iron ore? What was it on, and who pays it? It's all taxes. Doesn't belong in this bill. I think it's perfectly okay for the majority to want to take this money if that's what they think is the right thing to do, but they got to send it through taxes. So, you know, I continue to worry about the purview of these committees if we're going to do $60 million tax bills in a jobs bill that doesn't have the authority to deal with taxes. Similarly, there's a change to a tax credit in the bill. And so if we move these off to taxes, I won't get into my amendments. But I do want to say that, you know, one way I think that might help members to think about what Representative Rukavina was saying and Representative Anderson was saying is what Representative Rukavina is pointing out rightfully is that these are property taxes paid by these companies in his area. And so it'd be sort of like if we just decided that we'd take all the businesses in Bloomington who pay property taxes and just steal those property taxes, not to the state government, but to the city of Bloomington, and instead fill a budget hole because we don't want to cut. And so one way that would be a fairer way to do it, and I think it wouldn't pass because then all the committee members would have to have some skin in the game. The entire legislature, there's 2,000 tax increment finance districts across the state of Minnesota. There isn't a district, I don't think, by any legislator that doesn't have tax increment finance. This would be like stealing those property taxes from all of our districts, and we could certainly find millions of dollars to bail out Representative Gunther's bill to not have to take the tough votes for the tough cuts. Then Representative Anderson would have to give up her property taxes, and I would, and Representative Holberg, you would, and Representative Plowski, and everybody in this room would have to chip in, because that's a economic development mechanism, that's a TIF, that's a tax item just like the Douglas J. Johnson Fund that would affect everybody, not just some rangers. And, you know, it's certainly one way that Chair Davids could go. And this is another way Chair Davids could go. But these are tax bills. This is not the purview of the Jobs Committee. And to be having this long tax debate, which we just heard, I think sort of proves the point that that provision is a tax bill. And you know, Madam Chair, if we're going to not go to the Tax Committee, I will have a number of amendments, and I do want to get further into the different taconite taxes, because I think we can restructure them right here, because we appear to be doing tax items in this committee.
Representative Lencheski, just for clarification purposes, are all four of the amendments, A23 through A26, your amendments?
Well, I'm not sure. I've had them drafted. I don't know. If Representative Rukavina wants to offer one actually repeals the Dougie J. Johnson. Maybe he doesn't want to do that. But I mean, my goal here is, you know, if we send this to taxes, no need to talk about taxes right here now. If it's going to be in here, then it's time to work on a tax bill right now. And these provisions have not been to the Tax Committee. They are significant. We are going to start changing in this bill, the Small Business Investment Credit. I was the chief author of that. No one's talked to me about that. That was my bill. Now we're going to change it. I'm going to have a number of questions for Representative Gunther on that provision. And so I did draft these four. I, you know, I didn't, thankfully I looked at the website and saw they were due. I would have drafted more had I had more time. But if we're going to start making every committee the tax committee, then the tax members, I think, of this committee need to do their work in this room.
So, Representative Lenchesky, back to my question. Are these all four-year amendments, or... And
I think I stated I drafted all four. I'm going to offer at least three. I'm going to wait and see if Representative Rukavina wants to offer one of them. But I'll offer none if this bill's going to taxes.
You make it.
They're mine. I've said it twice. They're all mine.
All right. Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gunther, my concern lies with the extended employment and supported employment cuts proposed in this bill. Recognizing that you might consider them relatively modest, nevertheless, I feel compelled to address them, partly because there definitely will be job loss associated with these, and my community has extensive private business partnerships based on our work with extended employment. Taylor Corp employs quite a few of these workers, so they depend on these workers. But my real concern lies with the unique character of the group that's involved here. These are people with disabilities or mental health issues that, without the employment they receive through these programs, will move to state programs. So there's actually any savings that you propose here is actually illusory. They'll end up costing the state more money as they move to state programs. So I just want you to speak to those concerns and address the cost to the state as a result of these cuts.
Thank you. Representative Reinhart, as you know, I have visited MRCI, where your friend used to be in charge of it, and I have as much feelings for those programs and those individuals that work there and do a very good job. However, a 5% cut is the least cut we gave about anybody unless they were very, very small. This is the biggest of the programs that deed control that we have in numbers of dollars. 5% is a very small cut when we have an overall cut of 17 to 18%, and so consequently I don't think I could have done a much better job. We have talked to the people in extended employment. They would have been happier with no cut, but they were very satisfied.
Representative Briner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do appreciate what you're saying about the extent of the cut. Nevertheless, I'll make the point that there is a cost to the state here, that these are people who will go to state programs when they lose this employment. So it's not the savings it appears to be.
Representative Gunther.
I hope not. Let's hope that they're contracting for jobs with various providers, such as Glenn Taylor, 3M, and in Fairmont, they wrap their own brand of candy. They sell in Menards. So I think they have the potential to make this up, this small amount up, by being more productive with their contracts they have.
Representative Brenner. Any other discussion or questions for Representative Gunther?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Now, I was just wondering, are we then going to vote on the referral, or in what order? Because Representative Lenchesky brings up a good point. She would offer a number of amendments if this bill is not going to taxes. So what happens now? Are we voting on whether or not to re-refer it first, or?
Representative Rukavina, my understanding is we're having a bit of a side conference here to determine the exact path, absent direction on that. I think we'd move to amendments at this point. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and if we could entertain a motion, I would like to move that we temporarily lay over House File 1049 as amended, to come back to it and bring forward House File 1039, the Agricultural Omnibus Bill, so we can work on getting some of these things worked out possibly. So I would move that we temporarily lay over 1049, the Jobs and Economic Development Omnibus Bill, and get into the Agriculture Omnibus Bill.
Thank you, Representative David. So we will lay over the Gunther Senate File 887 as amended. Thank you, Representative Gunther, and Representative Hamilton, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would move that House File 1039 be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register. I believe it's the proper motion.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. And we do have a Senate file.
Yes.
So we will move Senate File 1016, the second engrossment, to be recommended to pass to the general register. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. And now, Representative Hamilton, I think we want to move to insert your language from House File 1039, the first engrossment, into Senate File 1016.
I believe that's the correct motion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Representative Hamilton moves that we would insert House File 1039, the language, into the first engrossment, or the first engrossment of 1039 into Senate File 1016. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Okay.
Motion carries. That's Representative Hamilton to your bill.
Mr. Chairman? Just...
Yes, Representative House.
I just want to bring up some protocol in case we made a mistake. But you made a motion to send the Senate file to the general register before you brought this up. So you might want to fix that before we go any further. Because we just passed the Senate file to the general register.
He's right.
That's all right.
You are very clever.
So we'll have two bills, huh? Mr. Chairman? No.
Yeah, you can take and make it motion to recall it. Yeah.
Bring it up for reconsideration. Yeah, reconsider your motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative House. I was reading the script here, and I will move to reconsider my motion that Senate File 1016, second engrossment, be recommended to pass to the general register. Discussion to the reconsideration motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for the parliamentary assistance.
I think what I'll do.
So Representative Hamilton moves to insert the language of House File 1039, the first engrossment, into Senate File 1016. Any discussion to the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion carries. I believe we now have the bill before us in its proper form. Thank you, members. Representative Hamilton, to your bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll briefly run through the bill here. I believe there's two amendments. I will have an author's amendment, and I believe there's one other amendment that will be offered up here as well. Just the main thing with the Ag bill, our priority was, along with ours and the Ag Committee and also with the Governor, was to uphold the integrity of the food supply. And you'll see that in the bill, that we did prioritize the protection services within the Department of Agriculture that did foods, that is responsible for food safety, plant safety, et cetera, et cetera. A few of the things that we did incorporate or did accept, I guess you'd say, with the Governor as far as went along with the agency operating reductions, the reductions to the Board of Animal Health. We are transferring the wholesale produce dealer fee dedication from the general fund into a dedicated account in the agriculture fund. Took the Governor's recommendations as well as far as the ACRA surcharge minimum elimination, and that was continuing the exemption of that would require burdensome refund activities since the surcharge must be paid at the same place where the volumes are reported. A few of the things that we did disagree with the governor or didn't go 100% in line. We do not have fees, any fee increases in this bill. The governor did have a retail food handler fee increase, and we took testimony there from a number of individuals. We're actually going to fund this for 2 years with a one-time appropriation. The testimony stated that we are 40 to 45% deficient in doing these inspections. However, working with the department and, like I said, taking some of the testimony on what some of the concerns were as far as where the time was spent, we're addressing that, and we're also working with the department. I know they're doing a great deal of cross-training in this area as well, as far as inspectors. So we're going to reevaluate that after 2 years, but we are going to fund this program, with, like I said, with one-time appropriation. The other fee increase that the governor proposed was an anhydrous ammonia inspection fee. We have the language in here for the inspections and what they're wanting to do. The very productive debate that we had and dialogue that we had is what we're wanting to do is focus less on the good actors, to where we don't have to inspect them as much, to where we can focus on some of the people that are in or out of compliance. And I think the debate is, can we do that with the same number of people? But the language is in here to where we can work towards that. But like I said, we do not have that fee increase. And so there isn't any fee increases in here. As far as the ethanol producer payments, members, for those individuals that think the state should uphold what we had promised to the producers, we're going to do that. For those that think that the subsidy should end, we're going to do that as well. So that's the best of both worlds there, right? That program is coming to an end. Mr. Chairman, I guess I would like to move to an oral amendment, if I could at this time, or Madam Chairman. That would be all right.
Certainly, Representative Hamilton.
Madam Chairman, I move that on page 16, starting on 16.14, to delete section 14. And members, that's the Personal Responsibility and Food Consumption Act, aka the cheeseburger bill. So if there's any questions or...
All right, members, Representative Hamilton has moved an oral amendment to Senate File 1016 as amended. And so he's working off the House language that's in front of you, and it would delete what we lovingly refer to as the cheeseburger bill. Are there any questions? Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair, and Representative Hamilton, does this mean I have to listen to Erdahl talk about this another year?
Representative Hamilton.
That is correct, Representative Garofalo.
Any other questions on the Hamilton oral amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. That was kind of, maybe everybody's thinking about dinner right now or something. All right, Representative Hamilton, there is another amendment in our packet, the A8 amendment.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
And it's also, of course, drafted to the House file language. Representative Eakin.
Madam Chair, thank you, and members, and I would like to move the A8 amendment. And I also have an oral amendment I would like to make.
All right.
To the A8
Representative
amendment.
Eakin, your oral amendment to the A8 amendment.
I'd be on lines 1.11, the last number there, 13,114,000, should be changed to 13,353,000. And on line 1.12, the same change, 13,114,000 to 13,353,000.
And Representative Eakin, did we gain some money along the way? Do we lose money?
Well, Madam Chair, the reason I'm making that change is that this amendment does take money from that agri-fund, what would have gone into the agri-fund, and actually the number was not correct. We're not taking the full amount that was increased in the agri-fund, and I'll explain why that amount increased. I can do that right now. The ethanol payments, it was $15 million that was allocated about for the ethanol payments, and we discovered that there is an ethanol plant that is no longer eligible for $1.9 million that they would have received of those payments. So that meant that there was an additional $1.9 million in the ethanol payments there that that was not going to be going to the ethanol plants. And what we took out of that with this amendment is about $1.65 million of that. And then the $250,000 that's left would stay in the Agri Fund, or would go into the Agri Fund.
Representative Hamilton.
Madam Chairman, that is correct. I do support this amendment, and I'd ask that the members support it as well.
And so, Representative Eakin, if it's okay, we'll incorporate the number change into your amendment, and then if somebody can tell me, does the bill still balance with this change of numbers?
And Madam Chair,
Representative Eakin,
and it would, because again, the total amount is not increasing at all. It's just shifting money that would have otherwise gone to this ethanol plant now to other purposes.
Right. Are there any questions on the Eakin amendment as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. I don't have any other amendments, and I'm not aware of any additional ones. Is there any more discussion on Representative Kahn?
Well, I'm not sure where this would be in the bill. But,
Representative Kahn, if you speak in your microphone, people can hear you.
Okay, but the Department of Agriculture, that regulates contamination in food also, is that correct?
Representative Hamilton.
Madam Chair, that would be correct, depending if it was under the jurisdiction of Department of Agriculture or the Department of Health. It all depends who's preparing the food. If you have a specific question, otherwise we do have.
Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, I do have a specific question, and that's in case of a nuclear power plant accident, who would be responsible for the monitoring of radiation in food, as we see is going on in Japan right now?
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe, well, we have the department here, if they could answer
like
that question.
A friend.
Could I phone a friend?
You certainly may.
All right.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd state your name for the record, please.
My name is Dr. Heidi Kassenberg. I'm the division director of the Dairy and Food Inspection Division at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture.
And Dr. Kassenberg, did you hear Representative Kahn's question?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee. There are many aspects of the food supply if there is a radiation incident. We actually do training on that in conjunction with our Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. A large component of that is training that our inspectors throughout the department receive on monitoring of the food supply for radiation should an event like that occur. And more specific information can be gotten. We can send that information to you after the committee. We can send that to you by email. There's a whole plan in place for should such an occurrence happen.
Okay.
Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, I think you've answered my question. The question is, was this something that has been considered, and are there people trained and ready to go should there be such an incident? And I think
Dr. Kassenberg.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, there's actually funds that are taken from each of the nuclear power plants that goes into training for such a disaster should that happen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Any additional questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, Representative Hamilton, would you like to renew your motion?
Madam Chairman, actually, Chairman Downey made the motion, so, and to make sure it's correct, I'll ask him to renew it.
So Representative Downey renews his motion that Senate File 1016, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Is that right, Representative Downey?
Yes, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion passes. The bill's on its way to the General Register. Thank you, Chair Hamilton.
Twice,
Madam Chair.
Twice.
What we'll do now is we'll take Senate File 887 from the table, and members, I wanted to have some discussion relative to the timing of the omnibus bills on the floor. At this time, I would recommend that the Jobs and Economic Development Finance Bill be re-referred to taxes. Chair Davids has consented to having a full hearing of issues related to mining taxes, credits, and it would not be our intent to bring this back to Ways and Means. So if there are issues in the bill that you'd like to discuss that are not tax related, certainly we can discuss those now. I'm not sure about the four amendments, whether any of them you want to offer at this point or not.
Stroking out.
Any amendments to be offered? Let's start there. All right. Is there any additional discussion to Senate File 887 as amended?
Yeah, Madam
Representative Carlson.
I was just going to point out, and I don't have an amendment, but I did want to ask Mr. Gunther if he's familiar with the Advocating Change Together. That's a group. I don't know if you see up
right here.
Representative Gunther.
Oh, you're at the table here. Which works with the day activity centers to help individuals with their employment goals. And it's a relatively low-cost item, and I understand it's been zeroed out. And what I would request that maybe you do is take a look at that between now and the floor. It's probably not a discussion item in taxes, but I hear that they do good things in working with people who have employment challenges, and would like to visit with you some more on that, perhaps.
Representative Gunther.
Madam Chairman, Representative Carlson, they are very good at advocating, but they are not considered by my committee as a job training program or a job production program. However, I would be very open to any conversation.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional discussion? If not, Representative Gunther moves that Senate File 887 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion's adopted. Members, I don't have any other business before the committee. We will be meeting tomorrow during a break in the floor session to hear the public safety and judiciary bills, and we'll be lucky, we'll have a wedding. We're going to marry those two bills into one bill tomorrow in Ways and Means, so you can all look forward to that event. Representative Rukavina.
Representative Gunther Davids, I thank you for the re-referral, and I'm just wondering if this bill would be the bill to amend in case a legislator has a stroke on the job that they get workers' compensation.
Are you planning something?
Representative Rukavina, I think on that note we will adjourn.